You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by WebEx.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Kyrie Irving. Did you see what he did last night? Performance of the year. We'll tell you exactly what it meant. Meanwhile, waiting any minute now. The move that will reshape the entire sport is coming. Where will Watson wind up? And while you were sleeping, Baker writes a thank you to Cleveland. Sounded like a goodbye. What does he know that the rest of us don't? We'll answer all those questions as we get up with you starting right now. Oh, by the way, free agency officially starts this afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern time. Graziano's ready to roll. Bartholomew is here. Mike Tannenbaum is making deals, and that's not all. Look who's back. Teddy Bruschi is on the program, and Shefty, of course, has all the news. I can't believe you put the phone down this long. But we begin with the performance of the year. Bartholomew, Kyrie Irving last night. The only word that comes to mind as he played the Magic is a magician, because that's what he is with the ball.
And that's exactly what he is. One of the best finishers in the game, and listen, he's rested. He's coming off that game rest, and he's following up. KD, I see you 7 more, KD.
I remind you that KD scored 53 points in their last game on Sunday, but that was Irving knocking down another jumper. He had 16 points in the first quarter, and then he got hot in the second. He's Mr. Inside there. Now he's Mr. Outside. The bench going crazy. Kyrie Irving, 6 of 7 from 3 in the first half, including this one contested. 41 at the break for Kyrie, and he was rolling to the third quarter. Quarter we go. The entire, by the way, the game was never in doubt, so we just focus on Kyrie. The entire defense is Cole Anthony, maybe wearing Timberlands, one way or another. That's Irving's 50th point of the night. Fourth quarter now, Kyrie's at 55, make it 57. Does he have 3 more in him? It's a rhetorical question. Yes, he does. Up and down, 60 points for Kyrie Irving. Nets win it 150 to 108. For Kyrie, that is a new franchise record, and after the game, he had this, among other things, to say.
I'm just grateful it came in the flow of the game. You know, a few shots probably I shouldn't have taken. You know what I mean? Tough ones, you know, double teams, triple teams coming. But, you know, as long as I could do it with a smile on my face and my teammates weren't too angry at me, it made this night worthwhile.
So I know what you're wondering. You're wondering, have any two teammates ever had back-to-back 50-point games? The answer is no. Kyrie Irving and KD are the first pair of teammates ever with 50-point games in back-to-back opportunities. Jay will join us a little later in this hour with much more on Kyrie's masterpiece. In the meantime, to the NFL and free agency, where the Atlanta Falcons have emerged as a sleeper team in pursuit of Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. The Falcons joining the Panthers, the Saints, and the Browns as teams that have met with or are interested in trading for the 26-year-old quarterback. And like everybody else, I first learned this from Adam Schefter's Twitter feed yesterday. So Schefty gets up with us here. Schefty, what is the very latest as we speak on Deshaun Watson?
He's met with the Saints, he's met with the Panthers, he's met with the Browns, he's talking with the Falcons. They are all interested in making a deal, Greeny. And all teams, I think, have deals in place, essentially, parameters of deals with the Houston Texans, so that if and when Deshaun Watson makes a decision about where he wants to play, he would then be able to waive the no-trade clause in his contract and help dictate to the Houston Texans about where he wants to play in an arrangement that would be acceptable to the Texans and to him. And clearly, all these teams are on board. Now, the interesting part will be there'll be a team here, maybe probably in the NFC South, that lands Deshaun Watson. And then there will be 3 other teams that don't land Deshaun Watson. And there will be the fallout that comes along with that, potentially in Cleveland, with Baker Mayfield knowing that the Browns have been interested in Deshaun Watson. Potentially in the NFC South, with 2 of those teams having to play against Deshaun Watson twice a year, not to mention the fact that the Falcons have Matt Ryan under contract and the Carolina Panthers have Sam Darnold, and those quarterbacks know that their teams have made open plays for Deshaun Watson. So there are the interesting scenarios here in which, where does Deshaun Watson go? And I'm told that once he goes, teams want answers sooner rather than later because they believe free agents will want to follow Deshaun Watson to wherever he goes, much in the same way that players follow Tom Brady to Tampa. But Deshaun Watson doesn't appear to be in any great rush to make a decision. I don't think this is going to drag out over the course of a week or anything, but this is a very significant decision with him coming off everything he has had in the last year and him wanting to make sure that his future is secure and that he makes the right choice moving forward.
Absolutely. And we'll get to Baker Mayfield in a moment because there were some interesting developments overnight regarding that. But let's get quickly to the idea of NFL discipline here. What, if anything, do the teams that are negotiating with the Texans know about whatever potential discipline may be involved in this for Deshaun Watson?
I think here's where it's at. Look, Deshaun Watson is still facing the 22 civil lawsuits, and the NFL doesn't need charges against a player to take disciplinary action. We saw that with Ben Roethlisberger, who was suspended for 6 games. We saw that with Zeke Elliott, who was suspended for 6 games. And I think there's a sense around the league that Deshaun Watson will be suspended at some point in time, whether the NFL wants to wait for the resolution of the civil cases, whether the league wants to impose any disciplinary action sooner. We shall see what the league decides. But I think people believe that there will be some suspension that served at some point in time.
All right, Jeff, you stay close. There's much more from you as we go here, but let me get the rest of the group in on the conversation. I will actually start, Mike T, with you on that thought, because you've been in that chair. How are these teams communicating with the league? What information generally does the league give to teams that are considering acquiring a player when there's maybe never been a circumstance exactly like this, but when league discipline is part of the equation?
Yeah, once you get permission from another team, you're calling the league, because again, Greeny, if you're giving up multiple first-round picks, if we go back to 2010, there was a 6-game suspension. That's almost a third of this season. So
that's Roethlisberger you're talking about.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And because of that, that's a material amount of games. So I need to know that before I could go back to the owner and the head coach and say, hey, we still want to do this, and giving up 3 first-round picks makes sense.
And you're making an important point I wanted to get to. This is not just a general manager and a coach making this decision. With all of the circumstances swirling around Deshaun Watson, the owner has to be in full lockstep with whatever they do, yes?
Yeah, as Adam just said, there's 22 civil lawsuits still pending. You need organizational alignment from ownership, head coach, players, other people on the staff. You're playing point guard, but you have to make sure everybody is signing off on this.
Yeah, because it isn't all going to be pretty whenever this move is made. But it is obviously, from a football perspective, extremely consequential, and there is some urgency here. This could happen any day. It could happen any hour. So, Teddy Bruschi, I will welcome you back, and I will start with you. Of the teams that you heard mentioned there, New Orleans, Carolina, Cleveland, Atlanta, which one do we put Deshaun Watson on and say immediately that team is a Super Bowl contender?
Well, if you're talking about Super Bowl contender, I'm going to talk about New Orleans. But any team that Deshaun goes to, they're better, okay? New Orleans, of course, they've got the defense. I mean, I think they have a lot of veteran players that have been in the league a while that can handle this type of distraction. And listen, you sign a Deshaun Watson, it's going to be, I mean, morale by your team. I know everything that has to go, that has to happen, and the possible suspension and what's going on here, but you've got a quarterback that can do things for you. So players will be very excited to have that type of performance. I'm not talking about all this stuff going on. And I'll say this, Deshaun Watson, he's 26 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. He's 26. He'll be 27 in September. And, I mean, long-term for an organization, you get this guy. I mean, this is 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. I mean, this is how long this guy can play. So all of this eventually will be behind Deshaun Watson, and you'll have a very good player that can bring you a championship.
And so, Bart, let me come to you on the same question. Put Deshaun Watson on the New Orleans Saints right now. We don't know what they'd have to give up to get him.
Right.
But put him on the New Orleans Saints right now. What are they in the NFC?
I mean, they're Super Bowl contenders. And I think they're a legitimate threat to dethrone Tampa, who's dominated that division for the last couple of years. When you look at what they were able to do with subpar quarterback play with Tampa last year, that defense gives Tom Brady's fits. They have something on him, and they use it every time they play him. I think this will be, they definitely have to be the favorite. People forget how great this guy is. Like, he did less with more in Houston than any other quarterback. To throw for 4,800 yards, you know, with losing the best receiver in the game and still finding a way. And it's not just that, it's his efficiency and it's his leadership as well. He is the perfect combination of Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. right? He's a mobile quarterback that can destroy you with his feet, and he's become accustomed to playing without great line play. If you put him there with that running game with Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, this will arguably be the greatest trio that we've seen in a long time in football.
Let me flip the question. If you're Watson and you're looking at those options, which one is the most attractive to you?
To me, it has to be New Orleans because of the pedigree. Now, I understand that Sean Payton isn't there, and you have to understand, like, how is the program going to be run? But they kept everything intact. So, you know, the offensive schemes, everything is going to be well. It's just, can Carmichael continue to be able an outstanding coordinator in leadership, you know, that void that Sean Payton left?
Danny, what else are we hearing here? Because obviously there's a lot of moving pieces all over the league that will ultimately be played out because of the situation.
Yeah, I think in terms of where he's most likely to go, a lot of people around this situation feel like New Orleans is the favorite for a number of reasons. Maybe that's the place he might want to go most. The Cleveland is interesting, but Houston would rather he be in the NFC than the AFC, so that could hurt their chances. Atlanta kind of coming into this late would have to do a lot of salary cap gymnastics and probably damage their roster pretty badly in the short and long term in order to make this happen. So it could happen. I think when you talk about, you know, ownership on down, I think Atlanta and Carolina are two places where the owner may even be driving this interest, right? I mean, there's a relationship there with Arthur Blank with the Falcons and with Deshaun Watson, who was a ball boy there once upon a time from the area. And David Tepper of the Panthers has been really driving his football people on the importance of we need a franchise quarterback. So some of that is coming from those upper levels of the organization.
So take us inside those rooms where these conversations are taking place, Mike T, because you've been a part of these calls. Who's talking to whom right now, and how does this ultimately get done?
Yeah, this is fascinating, Greg, because it's a three-party transaction. So if I'm Carolina or if I'm New Orleans, I can't overpay greatness. So if we put the civil accusations aside to what Bart said, Teddy said, we're a Super Bowl champion contender with him. So if it's 3-1s that go back to the Russell Wilson, hey, Shelby Harris, hey, Noah Fant, whatever it takes, we'll throw in a really good player. Here's the interesting X factor to me. Houston, they can't get too cute, and here's why. Last year, they paid him $10 million not to play Greeny. That number goes up to $35 million this year. They have to make a deal. So, of course, they want to come out of this with multiple first-round picks, but at some point, they have to pull the trigger. And then ultimately, too, the other variable is this. Deshaun Watson, you're a great player. You didn't play last year. You don't want to miss 2 years of your prime part of your career. So, therefore, you're going to have to waive your no-trade clause. So, everybody has a lot to gain and a lot to lose.
All right. What all that equals is urgency. This is something that could be happening any moment. We're on top of it. In the meantime, Shefty mentioned some of the ripple effects. One of them seemed to hit Cleveland hard last night. While you were sleeping, Baker Mayfield went on social media and posted a thank you that felt very much like a goodbye to the city of Cleveland. We're showing you a piece of it here. This is not a message with hidden meaning. This is strictly to thank the city of Cleveland for embracing my family and me. I have no clue what happens next, which is the meaning behind the silence I've had during the duration of this process. I have given the franchise everything I have. That is something I've always done at every stage and at every level, and that will not change wherever I take my next snap. That sounds more like a goodbye than Tom Brady's retirement posts did, for crying out loud. So let me bring Shefty back in on that. I woke up to this, Shefty. What are we supposed to make of this?
Well, wherever he takes his next snap is a phrase that stands out. So he doesn't know where he's going to take his next snap. And we know that Cleveland clearly is interested in Deshaun Watson and has been interested in Deshaun Watson. We'll see whether the Browns can get it done. To me, they are on the outside looking in just because of the fact that Cleveland is up north. Deshaun is from down south. The AFC is loaded with quarterbacks. The NFC is not. Deshaun could help swing the balance of power by going to the NFC rather than the AFC. So there are some things that are stacked against Cleveland that Cleveland would have to overcome to land Deshaun Watson. So I would guess that Cleveland's on the outside looking in. The chance is that Deshaun does not wind up there, though Cleveland has come off better in the meetings with him than I think people thought that it would. And I think the Browns have a little bit of a better chance than people expected. Saying that, Baker Mayfield, if they don't get Deshaun Watson, and the Browns are back to doing this dance that some people have wondered where it's going to lead to. And you have to think at some point in time, look, they have not signed Baker to a long-term extension. They don't seem committed to him. He doesn't seem committed to them, wondering about their future. And so this is going to continue to go on. There'll be all sorts of speculation that follows both sides. But if they don't land Deshaun Watson, the Cleveland Browns, who are they going to get at quarterback? And it might just be that the scenario is that these two sides are stuck with each other unless some team swoops in and tries to trade for Baker Mayfield, and the Browns feel like they can come up with another suitable quarterback alternative when there aren't a lot of them out there right now, Greeny.
So the feelings start getting involved here. Shefty, again, stay close. Let me bring Teddy back in because I remember having these conversations, Teddy Bruschi, with you. Linebackers don't tend to get in their feelings this way, but quarterbacks, how about it?
It's every offseason, fellas, we're dealing with the feelings of quarterbacks and how they get sensitive. And last year it was Aaron Rodgers and how he's dealing with everything. And all of a sudden, Baker Mayfield. This didn't have to be done. I mean, Baker talked about his silence, but sometimes silence is powerful. So, I mean, where's the Baker that had to earn everything in college and everything he has? If this doesn't work out for the Cleveland Browns, it's almost better because Baker knows this and he should be pissed off that all this happened, and then he goes out and has that right motivation. But this is definitely, you know, him, the ripple effect of Deshaun Watson and what it does to various quarterbacks and the sensitivity, okay, of those that play the position.
Yeah, Bart, what are we supposed to say here?
I mean, it's the butterfly effect, right? Everything, whatever Deshaun Watson does affects so many others. And listen, it's like Shallow Hal. You know, finally Cleveland woke up and they took the beard duff goggles off and they realized that they were really working with a 5 and not working with a 10. Listen, no matter what Baker Mayfield, he can never be better than Deshaun Watson. That's just the reality of it. Deshaun Watson, when he plays, is a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. And wherever he goes, he's going to shift the power. I am surprised that it's not more people, more teams involved in the hunt for him. I don't care if your quarterback isn't Herbert, Burrow, Jackson. You know, you should be looking at Deshaun Watson.
I get it. But let me go back to the Baker of it all for a moment here, because let's live in a world, as Shefty just pointed out. Yeah. I don't think any of us think he's going to wind up in Cleveland. I know we think that might be his best
place. Listen, that might be one of the best rosters.
I get it. But all of the tea leaves that we are reading suggest that's not where he's going to. Let's just live in a world where he isn't their quarterback, that we wake up tomorrow and he's a Falcon or he's a Panther or he's a Saint. Now what? Now you have Baker, who has essentially posted a thanks and goodbye to Cleveland, and is still your quarterback.
Well, listen, Mike Tannenbaum drafted DeMario Davis. I didn't get in my feelings. I just came to compete.
And he's still playing.
Hey, that's what happened. Hey, well, we both played 11 years. Respect on me, Mike.
See, he does get in his feelings. Linebackers get in their feelings, too. You know what? It's just that nobody cares.
Listen,
but when quarterbacks do, they post it on social media, and we lead shows with it. So all kidding aside, like, that sounded like a goodbye, didn't
it? Yeah, it is. And listen, he's going to have hurt feelings. He's going to try and put that big chip on his shoulder, have the best season that he's ever had, and say, hey, listen, this is last shot, right? This is last opportunity to prove that he's elite. We made excuses for him year after year after year. He has been part of one of the best rosters in football, and they have won in spite of him, not because of him. And the division is only getting better with Baker, with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, and who knows what Pittsburgh is doing. That's another story.
So, Graziano, let me come to you on that, because you're very plugged in with the Cleveland situation. Assuming they don't get Deshaun Watson, are they all in, for lack of a better word, on Baker being their quarterback next year?
I think the way the Browns have approached this offseason is that they're open to the idea of upgrading at quarterback if they can. Deshaun Watson is clearly an upgrade. Yeah. Again, strictly football speaking, right? We're talking about what he is as a player.
Yeah.
So if you don't get him, you have to assess, is Jimmy Garoppolo an upgrade over Baker? Is Marcus Mariota? Is Jameis Winston? And my sense early on was that they would say no to that, but it is possible that they would, and it is also possible that they have Baker back and have to make that work.
How do you handle this now? You're in charge of the organization. Your quarterback is in his feelings, and we didn't get Deshaun Watson. Now, how are you handling the situation?
Be a battlefield commander. Go lift weights. Go watch tape. Go get better, because it's going to give you the best chance to be successful either here or someplace else. And as Hembo reminded me, this guy is 26 in QBR over the last 2 years. He is not a great player by any metric. So invest in yourself, Baker. Get better, because it may not be here, but you want to maximize your ability in the NFL.
Teddy, put a ribbon on it for us here. Put a final thought for us.
And you think Baker should know the way that he came up, I mean, he wasn't wanted. I mean, he came out of nowhere and was the number one overall pick. He should know that every single year they're going to try to replace you somehow. I mean, based on this post, it's almost he lost that identity of everyone's always trying to get you. It's almost like being the number one overall pick, the quarterback, getting all the money and all the attention and all the commercials. Now he got into a softer place. And that's what this post sort of I'd see as a teammate. It's like, dude, that's so soft, Baker. Wake up, man. Let's get old. Give me the old Baker. Go out there and compete. Be that guy, not this guy who's thanking everybody and giving a goodbye when this probably won't even work out and you'll still be there.
It's going to be a very strange wake up when this thing doesn't go that way, assuming it. All right, we're just getting started here. It is wild today. Did I mention free agency officially starts this afternoon? Coming up, Randy Gregory has flip-flopped. Why is he ditching Dallas? What the actual heck happened here? And can Jerry Jones still do something about it? We'll explain. Plus, Tom Brady's flip-flop. Why did Tampa Tom change his mind? Teddy Bruschi is here to talk about it. Oh, we are rolling today. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Lexus. Experience amazing. And speaking of amazing, get a load of this. Meanwhile on planet Earth, brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Hey, Bart, I want you to see Texas State's Tyrell Morgan. Now, he's going to get this rebound. Now, this isn't going to count, but watch this shot.
Oh, Rocky Balboa style. Sign him up, Carolina. You got another option.
That's unbelievable. Again, it comes after the buzzer. Texas State would end up losing by 4 in overtime. But, oh, my, that's... Have you ever seen that?
I think maybe Magic Johnson in the late 70s.
It's a 93-foot shot. Again, it didn't count. All right, coming up, what the actual heck happened between Randy Gregory and the Cowboys? And is there still something Jerry Jones can do about it? We may have something you don't expect to hear. Plus, oh, what a night for Kyrie Irving. Can the Nets win a championship now? Jay will be in our studio to answer all the questions as we get up with you on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, as we continue, I want to make sure you know the Red Cross is providing humanitarian relief in response to the crisis in Ukraine. If you would like to help support and donate, please visit redcross.org/ESPN. All right, back to the NFL. Randy Gregory's time in Dallas, it seems, is done after the defensive end flipped his decision and will sign with the Broncos. He decided to take a 5-year, $70 million offer with Denver just hours after he agreed to what was essentially the same or at least a similar contract with the Dallas Cowboys. This was quite the surprise because there was a moment in time yesterday, Dan Graziano, where we were saying, oh, this was the biggest thing the Cowboys needed in their offseason to get him back, and they did. And then all of a sudden, they didn't. What happened?
So the Broncos kind of put a full court press on. Like, this was their guy, their top target as a pass rusher in free agency, and they let that be known to the extent that you can, right, through his agent. And as of Monday night, I feel like Randy Gregory had kind of made a decision like he was going to go to Denver. But he hadn't heard from Jerry Jones yet. And then as he did throughout the day Tuesday, changed his mind. And then according to what Gregory's agent has put out there, he said the Cowboys came in late with some different contract language that upset him, and he went back to Denver. The Cowboys say that standard contract language. They probably feel like, you know, that Gregory changed his mind and the agent's covering for him, which would be part of his job. But ultimately, Denver made him feel wanted in a way that the Cowboys apparently didn't, and that's why he ends up
there. Why did you laugh when he said that?
It's the beauty of the courtship, right? You know, what did it say, the devil's in the details, right? You talk about it. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, I was in a similar situation with the Ravens and dealing with the Jets, right? And it comes down to the language that is very, very important. You talk about injury offsets and skill deprivation, all those things, which means, hey, I can cut you if your productivity drops, and I can just blame it on not that it was a different year. You had a great year the year before. You're getting old. And listen,
you think this really is about the contract and not about the team?
And also, I mean, it's about the quarterback, I believe, too, because I think ultimately you ask yourself, do you want to hit your wagon to Russell Wilson or do you want to hit your wagon to Dak Prescott? And I've always said that I believe that Dak Prescott was the Steve Madden of the quarterback thing, meaning that he's the imitation version. It's good, but just not quite as good as Russell Wilson. When you look at it, you know, Russell Wilson is a proven leader. He's a guy that's been to 2 Super Bowls, and Dak Prescott always comes up small when the moments gets big. And right now, the hot team right now is the Denver Broncos, and it's about where you at, and it's about location, location, location. And right now, I think you have a better chance in securing a playoff spot and a victory and an opportunity at the Super Bowl in Denver than in Dallas.
So
yes, I said, I don't care about that division. I don't care what the Chargers have done. I don't want that heat from you, TB. We're supposed to be boys.
Tannenbaum is losing his mind over here. What?
Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes versus Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz?
If I'm a Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame caliber player, you think I care the hell who I'm going against? I'll take me against anybody.
You think Randy Gregory's a
Teddy,
Hall of Famer?
No.
The Russell Wilson is
Teddy.
A Hall of Famer.
So I wasn't expecting it to go here, but Bart took us there. Where does Randy Gregory have a better chance to get to the Super Bowl? I don't know if that's part of his thinking in this or not. But in Denver or in Dallas? What do you think?
Man, I would have to say that. I mean, there's still a factor in my mind of an unproven coaching staff there, okay, in Denver. I mean, and of course, there's an unproven coaching staff in Dallas. Sure. I mean, those guys making blunders left and right. Of course, yes, but still, what's Hackett going to do there? Yeah, Russell's got a better playoff record. I saw that, but you got that defense in Dallas in this, geez. I mean, it's a toss-up for me. I mean, I just don't think Gregory made the choice thinking Russell's better than Dak. I don't think he made the choice. I thought that language was the main reason why.
Let me ask you a separate question, Tannenbaum, because there is an app that you were telling me about today that I will admit I did not know about, but I'm going to download it. What is it, and why could it still wind up being a factor?
So there's an app where you can actually track private planes in our country. So I am going to track Jerry Jones until 3:59 and 59 seconds East Coast time, and here's why. The only place that Randy Gregory, under the rules, that he could sign until 4 o'clock today is with the Dallas Cowboys. And I think we would all think that it would not be beyond the scale of reason that Jerry Jones gets on that plane that we could track on our app and watch him fly to wherever Randy Gregory is and say, hey, I think we had a little bit of a miscommunication. Sign right here. Yeah. It's all good. You're a Dallas Cowboy. We got a couple other sponsors that want to get on the phone with you. You're going to be good to go. And Jerry Jones is a great salesman. He's a great closer. And I don't think it's beyond the scale of reason to think that's going to happen between now and 4 o'clock.
So, Teddy, let me circle back to where I intended to begin.
Yeah. I don't have that. Yeah, I don't have that app. That's for GMs and quarterbacks.
It was for my players,
but let me ask you a question. I would do everything I was. Yeah, Jerry Jones, do everything you can. If someone's flip-flop them back. Because if it can be done, Jerry can do it. And if I'm one of them defensive players on Dallas, I mean, I'm putting the full court press on Randy Gregory. Calling, texting, come on back. It's the same money, fix the language, anything like that. Because this guy was so valuable when he was on the field. Yeah. They had more takeaways than touchdowns allowed. 17-14 when Randy Gregory was on the field. When it happens, I mean, that pass rush, forcing the quarterbacks for errant throws, interceptions, the defensive back. Everybody benefits. This is a huge loss for Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it yesterday. We thought this was the most important player for them to bring back.
Absolutely, because you need somebody opposite, because then that forces you to have to maybe put Michael Parsons down there and rush more where he can't be like that Swiss Army knife. I tell you what, this is the season of courtship. This is what free agency is all about. When somebody shows up with a bag of cash at 12 o'clock, I mean, 11:50, 12 o'clock, and just gives it to them.
That was Rux.
listen, if Randy Gregory feels wanted, and if I'm Jerry Jones, what I'm going to lean on is his emotional strings. I said, listen, bro, we stuck with you through two suspensions because of drugs. We stayed with you. We want some loyalty. We showed you loyalty. And guess what? That money go a little bit farther here with no state taxes. Mm-hmm. You gotta talk to his mama. You gotta do all that stuff. You gotta be at his doorstep now, because he's never seen that level of desperation from Jerry Jones. It's nothing like seeing a billionaire beg.
Oh, and there are still words to live by. We still have 7 hours until this can officially happen, so we will keep a close eye on it. Much more free agency football as we go. But right now, let me get back to the hoops. All right, get me Jay Williams over here from ESPN Radio, because we opened the show this morning, Jay Will, with Kyrie Irving again. He scored 60 points last night. He did it every imaginable way against Orlando.
It was a masterclass by the most skilled player in the game of basketball. I said that, by the way. A masterclass by the most skilled player in the game of basketball today in number 11, Kyrie Irving.
It was 41 in the first half, and then on to the fourth year. You're going to see him. He's at 55 on his way to 60. Most skilled player today. It almost feels like that's not even debatable. There's so much debate about Kyrie Irving. It feels like his talent is the only thing that there's no purpose talking about.
Well, then if you want to get into who's the most second skilled player in the game of basketball, you can make an argument. Is that either LeBron James or Kevin Durant? And KD, who's in the argument, is on his team.
Oh, by the way, they scored 150 points as a team last night, and so this is consecutive games in which the Nets have had a 50-point score. KD did it at home against the Knicks on Sunday with 53, and then last night Kyrie going to 60. What are we starting to see in this Brooklyn team as we go down the stretch?
Oh, I don't know what we're starting to see. It depends if Kyrie can play all his games or not. That's the biggest question. But let me talk to you about the masterclass reasoning behind why I use that when I describe Kyrie Irving. Just moving without the ball once again, reading the defense, hand down, man down, the hand was up, still quick into his shot, and then look, coming from the weak side here, keeps the ball low, gets it away, and then the layup package, right, over the sides of the defender with the left hand, and then this one is just absolutely ridiculous, gets in, cuts off Cole Anthony, jumps into the defender to get his balance, right, to finish the ball with the right hand. Once again, the layup package, how he shoots the ball, and the footwork in general, I wish I could show it to you in slow-mo all the plays.
Yeah,
it's really mastery of his craft. I haven't seen a guard with that type of footwork and that finishing ability at the rim.
It's a thing of beauty. And look, there's been a lot of criticism of Kyrie Irving, and I endorse a lot of it. That said, obviously he's been working, because you can't just step onto a basketball court, you know, 20 times a year and do that. Even when he's not, when we're not seeing it, he's obviously been working like crazy on his game out of the public eye.
Greeny, it's so funny. People use this excuse of saying, well, he has fresh legs. And I get that. Okay. If I take a day off of basketball, do you know how off my rhythm feels? Mm. Do you know how the ball feels different? So for him to not play for a couple games, even if he is practicing, to come back and drop 60, but the precision, he shot 65% from the field, 67% from the three-point line. The precision is something that days off in the game, nobody can just come back and do it at that level that he's done it.
I want to bring up Ben Simmons in this conversation as well. We've yet to see him, of course, in any game action since June 20th of last year. After the team's shoot-around earlier this week, Steve Nash was asked about Simmons, and he said he has, quote, extremely high hopes that we will see him in the regular season. What do they need from him? In order for this Brooklyn team to win a championship, well, let's face it, that's the only thing that is really a success when you have players of this caliber. What will they need from Ben Simmons?
Well, especially if they face Toronto in the play-ins. I mean, they need him because Kevin Durant would not be enough against the length and size of Scottie Barnes and other people, all the defenders that Toronto has. So they would need him to be a big-time defender, and they need him to be a major facilitator. You know, people would say, oh, well, it's lack of shooting ability. Well, Ben also accounts for anywhere between 20 to 30 points a game with just his assist. So I think with the setup shooting of Seth Curry, guys like that that he will have on a roster, he can also facilitate a lot of points. They would need him to get by Toronto in that first round.
Important to mention for those who are not aware that Toronto, even if the Nets are on the road where typically Kyrie can play, but he's not eligible to play in Canada. So we had this question on Countdown. I'm going to ask it to you. If the Nets could only have one or the other of these two things, which would give them a better chance to win a championship? Ben Simmons at whatever it is, a sort of full-time, or Kyrie full-time, one or the other, which one gives them the better chance to win a championship?
It's not even a question. It's Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving.
We just talked about two of the most skilled players maybe in the history of the game on the court together, Greeny, and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
So they don't need Simmons.
We didn't even talk about Kevin Durant last night. He had 20.
Right.
He had 20, and we're talking, Kyrie.
But to be clear, they don't need Simmons. What you're saying, and I'm agreeing, is if Kyrie were eligible to play every game, which, again, is not our decision, and it's a whole other discussion, but if Kyrie and KD played every game, are the Nets the favorite to win the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, they'd be the favorite they'd be close with Golden State to win the whole thing. Now, I'm not saying they couldn't use Ben Simmons because that's not the reality. I mean, that was a hypothetical question, one or the other.
Of course.
But if you're forcing me to choose,
I totally agree.
They call it 7-11 for a reason. It's 7-11. I mean, that's KD and Kyrie together.
Because they're always open?
Yes.
Because they're always the best.
There you go.
Back on ESPN Radio every morning, KJM. Thank you so much, Jay Will. And we got great basketball coming your way tonight. Our Wednesday doubleheader, we've got Luka and the Mavs taking on KD and the Nets. That's at 7:30 Eastern. And then our West Coast primetime game will be in San Francisco. Jason Tatum and the Celtics taking on Stephen Clay and the Warriors. The Stars are on ESPN tonight, and we will start your night with NBA Countdown. 7 Eastern, that's here on ESPN. In the meantime, basketball of a different sort. NCAA tournament got underway last night. Two games in that opening round, including Indiana-Wyoming. Winner gets St. Mary's. Second half, Indiana by 3, and they are opening up the lead. That's Jordan Geronimo with a corner 3, and they're up by 6. 9 minutes to play. The lead for the Hoosiers is 7, and this is Trace Jackson Davis. He had a great night working hard inside. Puts it up and good. Indiana by 9. Under 4 to play now. Indiana's lead is 5. That's Xavier Johnson throwing it up, and that is Jackson Davis throwing it down. Take another look at the alley-oop. The lead for Indiana continues to be 7. That Big Ten has 9 teams in the dance, and Indiana says, we're not going home yet. That's Jackson Davis throwing down a huge jam. He had 29, and the Hoosiers win it 66-58. They will play St. Mary's Thursday. That game will be in Portland. And another reminder, ESPN Tournament Challenge brackets are open. Scan to download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. You can fill out your men's and women's brackets. Fill out up to 25 brackets for a chance to win $100,000 in prizes for both games. The men's bracket closes tomorrow at noon. The women's bracket closes Friday morning. So get in there and play with us. Meantime, coming up, Tom Brady's flip-flop. Why did Tampa Tom change his mind? We'll talk about it with Teddy as we roll on. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by WebEx. Tip-off is almost here. Download the app now.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up, and we are going to call this Teddy Time, who is going to take us through three big offseason moves and stories that he's looking to see. Teddy, let's start with the linebacker.
All right, yeah, let's go. Since Bart Scott's on the show with me, it's linebacker heavy today, and Bobby Wagner is a free agent, the best in the business for so long. Where is he going to go? The impact of, say, a Von Miller, that just that presence of a linebacker and what it can do to a defense that not only is used to winning championships, that can still perform on the field. So excited to see where Bobby Wagner's going to go because he could bring everything to a team.
Next one is the Chargers.
All right, another time for more defense. And that Los Angeles Chargers team is who got Khalil Mack and J.C. Jackson. I tell you, if Brandon Staley continues to go for it inside the 30-yard line on opponents, you're going to need players like this, okay? Because if you want to be aggressive like that, just basically you need a defense that's going to take the football away to get you extra possessions, pass rusher, cornerback. Derwin James also there at safety. Bosa, they got potential now. They got potential. Let's see if this changes how Brandon Staley calls the game. That's what I'm excited to see. And then my guy, Tom Brady, let's finish Teddy's time with a little bit of, listen, what's my guy going to do now? I mean, is he going to go out and win a championship? Would you really feel differently about him if he won another one? No. All right, he's just done so well, but now there's only a few players that can affect the decisions of free agents. So who will Tampa Bay now bring in to try to help him to win another championship? But Brady definitely doing something unexpected to me and coming back to play football.
Yeah, if you pick up on that thought a little, we were talking today. I mean, Tom is a person, obviously you know him so much better than all the rest of us put together, but he's a person who's always so calculated and always so organized. What has been your perspective on these last 2 months where he retires and then comes back?
Yeah, just surprising to me. I mean, I haven't spoken to him or anything like that, but that word you just said, Green, that calculated word, is it just defines him. So I don't know if this was he had a plan and something didn't work out, okay? Because this isn't a guy that just like, you know, let me just take this day to day and see what we'll do. No, I don't feel good. I'm just gonna come back. Something happened here, and that's why this is so unexpected for him to just say, you know what, I retire. No, I'm gonna come back. I know his father's comments in terms of the media. I'm not buying it. This guy's calculating. He knew exactly what he was doing, but something didn't work out.
Yeah, that was Tom Brady Sr. was on my radio show yesterday. You have a fun theory. I don't know if this is the reality or not, but it's worth hearing just because it's fun.
No, simply, I've been there. We've all been there. Teddy's been there. The reason we retired is because of injuries, because we couldn't play anymore. Hey, I can imagine how hard it is for Tom Brady to just go from being a superhero with the cleft chin, the Superman chin, the little dimple right there, and going back and being a mere mortal. I tell you what, listen, we all love our kids, but I love my kids like I love my wine, in moderation. And it's something different by pulling up to that pickup line in school. It's like, oh man, is this what Tuesday is like in my life? You know, my life has been, you know, programmed to be able to have some excitement. Like, it's like being a rock star. You can't get that dopamine from going to pick your kids up in a pickup line. You know, you went home and you realized, listen, I love my kids, but not that much.
Well, the Tuesday pickup, right? You got like the cone here and the cone here. You got to make sure your car is between these two
cones. It's dangerous too, because there's rules and you don't know what the rules are because you never picked them up. And those people with those little lights and those little safety belts, they be yelling at you, man. You're like, I'm Tom Van Brady. You don't yell at me.
There's a lot of satisfaction in getting that right. Like, you feel like you did something, but it's not the Super Bowl. Yeah, I can see your point.
Tannenbaum, what do you think?
I think that those 40 days were like, Giselle's like, it's time for you to get back to work.
You know, like, Tom, what's wrong? Nothing. We're just going to play your stupid football. Just get the hell out of here, then. Okay. You're going to be moping around like that. Nothing's wrong.
So, you know, what is that magazine? Stars. They're just like us. So, Teddy, let me get one serious question in here. He's back. They've lost some pieces. Are the Buccaneers right now, with Tom Brady, in your opinion, are they the favorite in the NFC?
They aren't. I'd go with the Green Bay Packers. I love Devondre Campbell, the linebacker coming back there. He just sort of put everything together for that defense. Of course, Aaron Rodgers coming back. I just think they're a little... What I had concerns about with Tom going there to Tampa Bay was how he would gel with the culture. And I think the last play was indicative of Tampa Bay to me. I mean, there's Ndamukong Suh coming right down the pipe to hit Matthew Stafford, but there's a defensive bust in the back end. So, I don't know. I mean, what's the culture like there to have that type of communication bust when your season's on the line? Those type of mistakes that I recognize over the course of 2 years with that team is just something that I just know that there's something going on there to where I don't know if it's discipline or focus, those type of things where they just let it go last year and they need to recapture a little bit of that.
That's really interesting. That's the play that we were just showing you there that Teddy is talking about, and you all know what we're talking about. The Buccaneers coming from way behind. Brady ties up the game against the Rams, and then they give up inexcusably. They let the Cooper Kupp get behind the defense, and that is attention to detail, right, from the defense. That's what Teddy is talking about.
And I'm sure, you know, coming from the Patriot culture where, you know, they never beat themselves, so everybody was doing their job, just do your job, humble pie and all that stuff, it can be frustrating. But, you know, I would still put, you know, Tampa over Green Bay just because simply you have an unsatisfied Devontae Adams who turned down reportedly $23 million. Like, you still have to fill the rest of that team, and that team is built like the Nets. They're really not deep at all. And I like the addition of Shaq Mason yesterday because that brings some nastiness and some familiarity with Tom Brady, who's going to bring a semblance of that Patriot way down there and that disciplined attention to detail.
Real quick, Teddy, go ahead.
Yeah, there always has to be an edge, though, Bart. You know that. Somebody's got to be pissed off, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, last year it was Aaron Rodgers with everything that was going on. Yeah. And then also, I mean, now Tay, he's saying he's not going to play on the tag, but believe me, you're going to come and get that check, that weekly check, that's a lot of money. So he's going to come back and he's going to be a little upset, and that's what they need. They need that edge.
All right, let me leave it there for the moment. We will come back. As you can see, we have a lot to say today. Oh, by the way, while you were sleeping, Baker Mayfield posted essentially a goodbye to the city of Cleveland. What does he know that we don't? We're taking you there in just a moment. We are jam-packed on this Wednesday. Get up on ESPN.